from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB. And this morning, shock horror, I'm not actually putting Mark the Week in, even though it is Friday and that is what we do. Not because there is anything wrong with it. In fact, it was a very good one. I've just got so much other good stuff. We're going to find out more about Michaela Cash. Raspberry Coke. I can't talk. This is going to hold us back. Raspberry Coke is back. Mike discusses the Hobbit lore and misses my joke and how psychopaths are actually awesome. But before any of that, this petrol tax.
So as we end the first week of this new government, or perhaps to be more accurate, the first day, given they only got sworn in yesterday. The outrage over their first move, that petrol tax, is a good indication of what we are in for over the next 3 years. Now, according to the Herald, people are going to leave Auckland because of the tax. No, they're not. If you leave Auckland, you were leaving anyway. I mean, no one packs up, drags their kids out of school, puts the house on the market, upends their life because of a petrol tax. Equally, all those who argue they're going to drive to the borders and get cheap fuel are making it up as well. No one drives 50 k's and burns up gas to save some pocket change. But as nutty as all of that is, the real problem here is the fundamental flaw in the economics that is driving it. You can't bump the minimum wage, telling us that $16 is not enough to live on, and then hit us with a petrol tax. There is no point in making life cheaper one day and more expensive the next. And do note the moving language from the government around this tax. It's not 10 cents a litre. It might be 10 cents a litre, it might be more. And as sure as night follows day, whatever it starts at, it won't end at. Tax is a slippery slope, especially with governments that love tax. And then you get the precedent. This is triggered by councils asking for a tax. The government says, well, we'll only do it if the council asks. And before Phil Twyford has finished uttering the sentence, Phil Goff is going, oh, yes, please. And you think that other councils aren't looking at this going, well, hold on. We've got a whole bunch of transport issues we need to tackle as well. We'll take the petrol tax too, thank you. And for every time a government gives and takes away in terms of tax and income, it double handles money. And with that double handling comes the inefficiencies of the state. The more money is handled, the more it costs, the more you lose. But in the spirit of ending the week on a positive note, they've done the right thing on Taina Pora. And in this small example, we can perhaps see why National got hung up on procedure and lost a bit of heart. Pora is innocent, and to pick a fight the way they did over the inflation aspect of his payout was petty, it was unnecessary, and with the stroke of a pen, Andrew Little yesterday put it all to rights. That, for a new government, is a good day at the office.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of Trump coming out firing on all cylinders. And mind you, of course, he hasn't actually managed to get any of those things that he said he was going to do happening, but you know, I'm sure any day, it'll be fine. Right, and now, Michaela Cash causing waves across the Tasman. I don't really understand the story, but she's interesting to look at because of the blow-waved hair. Google her if you... But the other thing, of course, that is interesting about her is that her name is like Michael with an ear on the end of it. Maybe the parents actually wanted a Michael and they got her instead. The other interesting thing about her is listening to Murray Olds talk about her.
Now, this woman, Cash, who none of us know over here, Michaela Cash, who's the employment minister, so she's in a pile of trouble. Is she accident-prone normally, or has this come out of the blue?
Well, look, she's a very easy woman to dislike. She has got a mind like... she's a Mensa candidate, but the mouth like a bricky. She's a lawyer from WA and a fierce Turnbull loyalist. Now, her staffer tipped off the media at the start of the week there was going to be a raid on union offices that were the union once run by Bill Shorten. It was just a mess. The government started on the front foot. By the end of the week, it was a disaster. Turnbull cannot take a trick politically. Was he going to sack Cash? No, he won't. She is an absolute fearsome woman. I mean, goodness me, she'd eat her young if she had any. But he's not going to sack her because she is an absolute loyalist to him. It's just another, it's a metaphor for this government. He cannot take a trick, Malcolm Turnbull. The poor bugger sits there every day looking like a guppy in a goldfish bowl. Someone's just going to hit him on the head once too often. He's going to go. But right now he's digging in.
She would eat her own young if she could. Once again, Murray wins quote of the week. He's won that on several occasions. I'd eat my own young if they smelt better. And if they tasted it of raspberry Coke?
Coca-Cola raspberry's back. I don't remember it first time round. Apparently Coca-Cola raspberry was introduced to this country in 2006. They're going to bring it back for summer. I'm boycotting Coca-Cola because of their approach to the Innocent Cafe. I'm taking a stand on that. Bugger the IP. I'm going with the little guy.
Vanilla Coke seems to come and go.
Gone again. But here's the interesting thing about Coca-Cola raspberry. It's only in this country. It's unique to New Zealand. It's not being put into any other market anywhere.
Well, it's something that you get mixed up as a kid, isn't it? I'm
envisaging it. It would seem delicious.
Yep.
It's unfortunate that I'm boycotting the company at the moment, actually. Never mind.
Maybe he could pour himself a sneaky one. Or maybe he could manufacture the same thing out of generic brand cola. Would that be as good? By the time you've added a dash of raspberry, it's pretty hard to tell, isn't it? Anyway, that's taken me back to my childhood, that's for sure. Now, what is the Hobbit lore and what's happening to it? Mike is a little bit worried and he misses my joke. See if you can spot it.
Now, here's the news last night, and this was on One News. The Hobbit lore is going to be scrapped. Now, the Hobbit lore, if you remember, was when Peter Jackson got involved in this and it was the Hobbit movies, and Warner Brothers came down to the country and said, look, the way you employ people in this country doesn't work. It's too cumbersome. We need to change it. And unless you do it, we're not going to make the movies.
I thought the Hobbit lore was keep it hidden, keep it safe.
So we changed the law. And so what it meant was everyone who works on movies is a contractor versus collective bargaining. There was no collective bargaining. Everybody celebrated. Everybody got on with it. And we've earned millions and millions and billions of dollars from movies. And we could not be happier with the New Zealand movie industry. Labour's come in now and said, gone. Now, one, the movie industry don't want to go back. Two, yes, you're going to be able to collectively bargain, but what are you going to be bargaining for? Because there ain't going to be no movies made here. So you can collectively bargain over nothing. So what was the point of that, for God's sake? And then yesterday, I'm reading that GDP and employment growth are likely to slow as the government implements its migration policy. This is the ASB chief economist, Nick Tuffley. Now, I've got no problem with the government coming in and they want to change, I don't know, national standards. They want to scrap national standards. And so that's fine if that's what you want to do. I mean, I personally don't agree with it, but if they want to do it, that's their right because they're the government. But what I don't like is a government that comes in and overtly and deliberately implements policy that is going to ruin the economy. And when economists are going slower population growth, slower overall GDP growth, probably slower employment growth, slightly lower tax revenues because the revenue base will not be so big. This is what they're predicting. What's the point of doing that? Why would you want to wreck your country, for God's sake?
I was really proud of that joke too, my Hobbit lore joke. Unfortunately, Mike's never seen any of the movies, never read any of the books. So he just did not understand the intricacies and the subtleties of that joke. I feel like maybe I build it up too much now that I think of it. We had a mad scientist on today who's been studying psychopaths and whether it's worth... I'm not quite sure what her point was. I think they're prepared to do things normal people aren't for the greater good. That was her point. Very strange interview. We can't resist talking about it, of course, after the interview.
And we found that actually many, many people did say that they would sacrifice one person or push a man from the bridge to save five, but that psychopaths were doing this action with a greater physical power, so that stronger force and stronger response time combined. So they were just doing this action, which many people did in the virtual world anyway, but with just a strong power behind that.
Jeez, interesting insight. Sylvia, appreciate your time very much. Sylvia Turbeck, co-author of this particular study. Not sure what I'm just not how many times we're going to encounter this business of needing to push somebody off a bridge to save one person to save some more people down the track.
I do it all the time.
Would you really?
No, I'm saying I do. I mean, I can't be totally sure that I'm saving people when I do it, but it seems, you can't be too careful.
I'd be keen on that. I mean, not so much the pushing somebody off a railway bridge to save people down the track. So you'd have to be a psychopath to come up with that scenario in the first place, surely. But I'd be keen to have an immersive VR experience like that. That sounds pretty cool.
than I am a gadget guy. I am also GlenZB. That was also the rewrap. If you want to wrap up some VR goggles and send them to me, I'll be pleased to receive them. And I'll see you back here again with more wrapping on Monday.